Hello, listeners, and welcome to another exciting episode of Standing Post. I'm your host, Cody Starkin. Our guest this month started with the Secret Service Uniform Division in 1996 as an officer assigned to the White House. Since then, she's been assigned to various branches of the Uniform Division, including Foreign Missions, Naval Observatory, Special Operations Division, the Magnetometer Operations Office, and the Office of the Chief of the Uniform Division. I would also like to add that on August 5th, 2018, our guest was appointed to the rank of Deputy Chief, the Secret Service's first female deputy chief in the agency's history. For this episode, she speaks about her current assignment as the deputy chief for the James J. Rawley Training Center. She shares a bit of history of the campus and some interesting factoids. Now, with all that being said, let's get to the show. Please welcome Deputy Chief Katrina Bonus. Katrina Bonus, thank you very much for being on the show and talking to me as well as the listeners here about what you do for the organization. Before we get to that, would you be willing to introduce yourself?
Absolutely. Thank you first, Cody, for having me. It is a true honor. My name is Katrina Bonus. I started with the Secret Service in 1996, and I have close to 25 years with the agency. Currently a deputy chief assigned to the James J. Rawley Training Center in Beltsville, Maryland. And just a little personal information, not only am I an employee of the Secret Service, I'm also a wife to a Secret Service supervisory special agent who works in the Baltimore field office, as well as a mom to a witty, spunky, and determined 9-year-old girl who looks way too much like her father, and he would say acts way too much like me.
What have you seen? Like, what positions have you held in the past that, you know, has led to you being the deputy chief at the Rawley Training Center?
The assignments that I've held throughout my career prior to this position, this job has incredible opportunities, and I've held multiple assignments at various ranks since starting my career in 1996, both permanent assignments and collateral duty, which are in addition to my normal assignments. I have the honor of being the first female deputy chief of the Uniform Division, where I was promoted in August of 2018. Prior to this position in training, I was actually the deputy chief of the White House branch, which I held for just over 2 years. With my assignment, now at the Rawley Training Center, I've actually been assigned to every single branch in the Uniform Division, the White House branch, the Vice President's residence, the Foreign Missions branch, the Special Operations branch, the Office of the Chief, and now here at the Rawley Training Center. In 2016, I actually represented the Secret Service and DHS when I attended the National Defense University, specifically the Eisenhower School, where I was able to receive a graduate degree. And also in 2017, I was selected for the Senior Executive Services, the Career Development Program, becoming the first Uniform Division member accepted into this elite program. So needless to say, I've actually had a very, very rewarding career with the Secret Service.
And again, I'm very happy to have you on the show. And one question I did want to ask, prior to coming in the Secret Service in 1996, was there any other jobs that you held before being accepted into the agency?
Actually, I started the job at a young 22 years of age.
Oh, okay.
So prior to joining, I was taking classes at school. I was working at a bank, and also I was babysitting just to make some extra income. So for me, I always knew I wanted to be a police officer or in law enforcement because I was following in my family's footsteps. At that point, I was just waiting to become of age to start applying for law enforcement positions. My mother, she was a sergeant with the Metropolitan Police Department, and she retired after over 20 years of service with them. My father, he started his career with Metropolitan Police Department, and after 3 years with them, he actually joined the Secret Service in 1976. He had a distinguished career with our agency and he retired as an assistant director in 2003 with 27 years of service. And also I had an uncle who retired as a commander with Metropolitan just a couple of years ago. Needless to say, growing up surrounded by those that I love in this profession, it only showed me that this is what I wanted to spend my life doing.
Excellent, excellent. And I guess one last question. Have you always been in the D.C. area? Was that something that you... at a young age, were exposed to just the multiple law enforcement agencies that were within D.C.?
Absolutely. Both with just being, I'm born and raised in Alexandria, Virginia. So for me, it really was being centralized to the area to stay close to family. And also too with my family, my mom and my father and my uncle being in law enforcement. Yes, understanding the agency as well as our mission here, in addition to the partnerships with local law enforcement, was something that appealed to me.
Awesome. And we thank you for sharing your story with everybody that's listening. So thank you. So Katrina, one of the reasons why we have you on the show, as you mentioned before, is being the deputy chief for the James J. Raleigh Training Center. I wanted to kind of bring you on to maybe discuss some of the specifics with it, maybe a general overview, and then some things that are specific within the training center that you might want to highlight and share with the listeners out there. And I think, you know, and we can kind of move into wherever you'd like to go in discussing this. But I guess maybe the first question I want to ask in this is that, do you have a little bit of history that you can bring the listeners up to speed on regarding the training center?
Of course, Cody. So RTC, the original 60 acres campus, was established actually as the Federal Law Enforcement Training Center facility back in 1967. A few years after that, the Federal Law Enforcement Training Center was relocated to where everyone knows right now, Glencoe, Georgia. And this property in Beltsville, Maryland, was turned over to the Secret Service in 1971. It was originally named the Beltsville Training Center, but in 1983, it was renamed the James J. Raleigh Training Center, actually to honor our 14th Secret Service Director, James J. Raleigh, who was instrumental in acquiring and developing the training facility. And JJRTC, Raleigh Training Center, has been our home ever since.
So you talked about that the land was handed over, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes.
And so when it was handed over, and maybe just the training center specifically, why was it created? I know it's a training center, but like specifically why that location where it currently resides, like why was it created in that area?
So because of our unique law enforcement responsibilities, the Secret Service, we've long realized the importance of specialized training for our employees. Since 1971, we've actually developed long-term goals for the training of our personnel centered around the development of this training center, which provides the ideal location being just out of Washington, D.C., privacy and security to conduct our training. Also, it's a perfect place to meet our protective and our investigative mission, which is to leverage our most important asset, which is our people, to better help develop and maintain and advance their skill sets, and actually enable them to meet the challenges of our evolving threat and really the evolving 21st century environment.
With your position within RTC, would you mind talking about what your roles and responsibilities and how they fit into the framework of the training center?
So as the deputy chief assigned to the Raleigh Training Center, I work alongside Special Agent in Charge Mike Ball and Deputy Special Agent in Charge George Hartford, and we support the RTC staff. And we develop and implement the broad range of basic and in-service training programs that occur on a continuous basis. And we also initiate those long-range developmental programs. While my position sounds like a big responsibility, I actually have to say that my job is easy. We have several hundred dedicated and steadfast men and women who work hard every day at RTC in support of our training and our protective and investigative mission. Truly a unity of effort amongst special agents, uniform division, administrative, professional, technical, personnel, law enforcement specialists, and they are the ones that ensure our campus runs efficiently, and they are the ones that do all the work day in and day out to support our recruits and our workforce. So for me, being the deputy out here, it really is a privilege and honor to work with such a committed group of men and women on a daily basis who really work hard just to make this agency a better place to work.
You talk about having a unity of effort, making sure that the training runs smoothly for everybody who takes classes there, you know, from the basic to advanced courses there. But specifically, you come from a uniform division background. Is there anything specific you'd like to share maybe with what experiences you bring or maybe some of the specific responsibilities you as a uniform division officer are able to contribute?
Yes, with the long, almost 25 years of experience, and especially for many of our senior leadership, we've been involved in quite a bit and quite a bit of incidents throughout our time on the job and multiple assignments, as we talked about earlier. I think the biggest piece for me is my former position down at the White House branch as the deputy chief. So I value my opportunity out here at the Raleigh Training Center, really to be able to provide not just to the recruits, but to our current workforce. What I was able to experience down there with a lot of the incidents that we were able to go through, really to change and evolve how we do training, not necessarily what I went through back in 1996, is really what is occurring in 2021. So being able, especially with the last 2 years at the White House branch, being able to see what the workforce needs down there with the several hundred men and women down there who are also dedicated and committed between patrol and access control and special operations section and the tactical, all of those units, being able to serve them and support him and them in training needs allows me to do that here at RTC.
Are you able to talk about maybe, we obviously can't speak about every training program that is offered at RTC, but are you able to kind of maybe touch on a couple of programs?
So we are a police department in regards to our law enforcement training. However, we do have the unique mission of protective investigative. So as many law enforcement agencies go through in their academies and their with their recruits, a lot is the firearms training and the control tactics training, the physical skills, the physical fitness training, as well as the protective thriving, and as well as legal training and leadership training. What makes Secret Service and Raleigh Training Center unique is we also have our criminal investigative training, our protection training, protective intelligence training, our special operations training, which is more of our tactical training, as well as canine, and also emergency medicine and water safety. So we have a breadth and wealth of training opportunities here that really meet our protective and investigative and law enforcement mission and needs.
RTC isn't specifically responsible for just like the physical law enforcement training, but you offer all types of training, even professional development training that you may not think would be offered there. But your portfolio or RTC's portfolio covers all training for the Secret Service, correct?
Absolutely, Cody. We train all Secret Service personnel, and that includes Special Agent and Uniform Division, also the technical law enforcement, as well as our technical, professional, and administrative positions. But we're not just limited in law enforcement training. We have classes for leadership, just as first line, for instance, first line supervisor courses, manager courses, executive courses, retirement seminars. Those things are all open to all job series within the Secret Service.
Do we offer our partners to come train there? If so, what does that look like?
Yes, we do. We have a great partnership with all of our local law enforcement partners. Some of those include the Metropolitan Police Department, U.S. Park Police, U.S. Capitol Police, amongst many others. We often actually have our partners out here for joint exercises and tabletop exercises. We specifically have a course. It's called the Dignitary Protective Seminar. This actually brings our state and local law enforcement partners to RTC for a week. And this is where we're able to teach them about our protective methodologies so they can better understand our protective mission. Clearly, everyone is aware that the President and the First Lady and the Vice President and Second Lady, they travel extensively throughout the United States. So this type of course, it has huge value and benefit because it shows our law enforcement partners basically that when we come to our cities or states for a protective visit, it allows them to better understand what we do and why we need the support and why we're asking for certain things for our protectees and our mission. We've also hosted foreign security agencies such as Scotland Yard and the Shin Bet, and this allows us to learn protective and investigative approaches from our ally countries and their current trends and their emerging threats, and so that if we need to, we can adapt and be better prepared for our future threats. Just recently, to prepare for the inauguration, RTC held multiple large training exercises, and this included over 200 participants from 30 various local agencies throughout the Washington, D.C., Virginia, Maryland area.
Awesome. And I think that's very important for our listeners to, you know, kind of realize that is that, you know, we and correct me if I'm wrong, it's one of those things where the training is meant to allow people to understand what we do and why we do it, as opposed to just telling them, correct?
Yes, absolutely, Cody, it does.
Is there anything that you'd like to share regarding RTC that we haven't maybe covered up to this point that I may have missed or just didn't ask the question?
We talked about, you know, what our space was with the 60 acres back in 1967. It should be noted that we've grown significantly here at our training facility in Beltsville. We have nearly 500 acres. That includes several miles of roadways, about 36 buildings, which includes classrooms, mat rooms, physical fitness facilities, five firing ranges, two tactical villages, and a expansive driving pad. And our facilities branch, they manage and oversee and provide complete direction concerning all campus-related issues, and they work nonstop to ensure that we're efficient and we're effective and that we're able to run day-to-day to support our current workforce and our recruits.
And that's actually something that you brought up that I wanted to, now I guess I just wanted to ask. A lot of the driving training does occur on the campus, correct?
Yes, it does, absolutely.
Also, too, you had mentioned that there were... And if I don't know if you're allowed to talk about it, but in the military, we called them mount sites. And so I didn't know, it basically, the villages or the mock cities that you have set up throughout the campus, are you able to speak on those?
So everything that we really have on complex here at RTC, our tactical villages, our raid house, those type of things, they really allow us to better prepare our current workforce as well as our recruits. For those type incidents that they are going to possibly see when they get to an operational branch, whether they're uniform division, whether they get to a field office and they are going to do criminal investigations or counterfeit investigations in the field offices with their local law enforcement partners. So anything that we do here is really to give the tools that are necessary for our personnel to succeed, but also to keep them safe and to understand what those threats could be when they get and become operational.
One of the things, I think one of the benefits having you on the show, I mean, you kind of made mention to this about some of the changes that have occurred over the years with RTC, but from your perspective, I mean, what is maybe the biggest thing that you've seen change over time from initial entry back in 1996 to today?
So since I went through, there have been significant changes to our Raleigh training campus. So since 1996, there's been huge enhancements to our building infrastructure. In 1996, really, when I went through, our training was limited to just a couple of buildings. And what we could not get here at RTC, we would have to go to Washington, D.C. to a separate Secret Service building. Currently, what we call the Merletti building, which is predominantly the classroom space, it used to be a skeet range, which we were able to go out there use the firearms. So it just goes to show that we've expanded in infrastructure, we've expanded in space, also too in technology, and things that I've seen since I went through. There really is a difference, and we talked about it earlier, a difference in what we're teaching as far as scenarios, what we're putting our recruits and our current workforce that come out for advanced training and in-service training, what we really put them through. Scenarios and the incidents that occurred back in the 1990s are completely different to what is occurring today in the 21st century. So we've had to adapt and change in regards to the enhancements that the branches and the operational branches have made at the White House and the Vice President's residence. We've had to tweak and the incidents that they're getting involved in, we've had to adapt, as well as what the field offices are seeing in the criminal investigation. We've had to adapt and evolve. Also, the number of classes that we put through. The Secret Service has a great hiring initiative and a great human capital strategic plan, and RTC does a great job being able to support that. We try to have 12 uniform division and 12 agent classes a year. So currently we have 7 special agent classes on campus and 3 uniform division classes on campus. And to tell you, we actually just had one class 304 from the uniform division graduate today. So it just goes to show from what we experienced or what I experienced back in 1996, where it was a class every few months. I was the most junior on the job for about a year. Our hiring initiative has definitely increased to meet our strategic goals with the agency, and RTC is able to meet that and support the director and the headquarter direction and vision for the agency.
With that recent class graduation, that's probably our most recent that has gone through the program under COVID-19 guidelines. Do you have any general things that we've done to maybe help, you know, continue to train through an environment like this?
So back in March of 2020, when the pandemic had started, the men and women that were currently in training at that time, unfortunately, they had to endure an extensive and unexpected expected break in their training curriculum, which unfortunately, you know, when you come through training, that's momentum focus. So because of COVID, that lasted for about 3 months where that break, unexpected break occurred. But with the work of the staff of the Raleigh Training Center, with support and collaboration with the Secret Services Safety and Health Unit, as well as our private sector partners, to include the medical team at Johns Hopkins and our local law enforcement partners, Raleigh Training Center was able to take exhaustive steps to ensure a safe return to training for our personnel, which was in June of 2020. We were one of the first law enforcement agencies to open the doors and start training back up. And obviously, we reevaluate often with the pandemic as it continues. And several changes since March of 2020 have occurred to ensure, most importantly, the safety of our staff and our personnel and our students. This includes in daily temperature checks and, of course, the mandatory mask wearing. We've had to decrease the class sizes to allow for that social distancing. And we've also had the ability through our emergency services, emergency medicine services section, the ability to perform COVID testing on campus. But of course, the most important is keeping our personnel safe.
And switching back to kind of centering some questions around your roles and responsibilities and what you do for RTC, are there any initiatives that you'd like to bring up or anything that you personally are trying to spearhead that we could see in the future?
Of course, I always love to talk about this type of stuff just because it shows how the Secret Service is evolving and how we are progressing and advancing. With the support of our headquarter leadership. As we just talked about COVID, the one thing that we learned, because we ended up having to do a pause for the 3 months, we were able to create a distributive learning section. It is a section of committed men and women, which allow us to continue through our agency software to offer classes. And this program continues to be a critical element, which sustains in a go-forward mode for both our vitality and the continuity of our operations and cost savings. So instead of everyone coming to a classroom to be in person because of COVID, since we cannot allow that in a limited fashion, we end up having our distributive learning, which is a virtual learning mechanism to allow for our folks to use the technology to be able to sign on. We have a producing staff, we have cameras, and it allows our teaching to continue in support of our mission while we also address the pandemic as well. Another initiative is our in-service training for our special agents, our APT, and our uniform division. We have a robust regional in-service training section, and that it actually advances the basic skill sets, the foundational skill sets for the agents. From what they've been able to learn as a recruit. And that's across the whole Secret Service. And it's offered in the field office throughout the country and actually throughout the world. And that's in coordination with the field offices as well as RTC staff. Our uniform division in service training is starting to kick up and to be a more robust section. And it allows us to support the various branches, to include the White House branch, the Vice President's residence, and the Foreign Missions branch, with the needs of the deputy chiefs that are down there at those branches and the training that they would like to see put into place. And as I said, you know, being a former deputy chief of the White House branch, being in this position now, it excites me in regards to having that opportunity to see what they need and being able to create initiatives that allow to support those the branches, whether it's uniform division agents. We're also creating an in-service training for our APT, which is starting pilot programs in the near future. And then the last one I'd like to talk about is our crisis intervention team training. We've been working on this for the last couple of years, and this is a de-escalation type of training. And it also allows for our personnel, whether it's agents, uniform division, APT, to understand mental health and basically mental health consumers and what they need, because at the White House, that was one thing that we see, and what I, when I was down there, saw often are the mental health consumers that come to the White House, and they have a true need, and it allows us to train our personnel on how to better understand mental health needs for those folks, for the consumer, mental health consumers. But it also is more than just training. It allows us to follow up, and it allows us to build partnerships with, you know, DC Behavioral Health and the local hospitals and our local field offices and things and local law enforcement partners because for what we would like to do is ensure, you know, that that mental health consumer that we've encountered sometimes multiple times, and sadly, each time they come, their actions get progressively worse. And that's, you know, for the safety of our officers and the safety of them. What our ultimate goal is to get them into a safe space, whether it's to the hospital, to the medications that they need, and ultimately get them back into their area where they live, to their family network, so they can get the help that they need. And that is what this crisis intervention team training and the de-escalation allows us to do. And it's training that we are focused on for those that visit our protected sites.
As we continue forward, I wanted to ask also some specific things, so maybe some fun questions here about maybe the training center itself. Is there anything in particular that somebody out there may not know that the training we offer there? So I guess, is there any interesting bit of trivia regarding the training that we offer at RTC?
Well, the one trivia tidbit that I'd love to add, just for not only those within the agency who may not be aware, but also too for the public, since I've been on the job, I've been able to witness that every president, first lady, vice president, and second lady, how they come out to our Raleigh Training Center, and they have the opportunity during their administration to see what we do. And I'm sure it's happened, you know, through many administrations prior to me, but it's just the one thing that I've seen. In Raleigh Training Center, we provide demonstrations for the protectees on our driving ranges, our driving pads. We do canine demonstrations, and then we actually have them see our protective scenarios. And I think that this is really important because it gives them the opportunity to see what we do. And it also shows the quality of our training. And I think it's an opportunity really to build the trust for them. And also it's the shared respect of the sacrifices that those in our agency and those that are protecting them and their families are making. We just opened up back in 2019, a canine facility. We have our explosive ordnance detection dogs as well as our emergency response team dogs, or canines, I should call them. And we have the facility now that we can train them here with the staff in the space to partner up the technician with their canine for that better partnership, but also to enhance and increase our operational and our protective mission at the branches, on the road, as well as firing ranges. We have 6 ranges here at Raleigh Training Center for the operational and student personnel. With indoor pistol ranges, outdoor pistol ranges, outdoor rifle ranges. We actually have modular firearms ranges, and we have a range down in D.C. that is closed for our operational personnel so they can ensure that they are always fluid and ready in regards to proficient with their firearms. And our recruits, they go over 100 hours of, or they go through 100 hours of firearms training just to graduate. And then every day we have weapons requalification daily for our current workforce as we train on our 5 weapon systems.
I guess maybe more of a personal question. Do you have any wisdom or any words of encouragement for those that may be who were accepted into the agency, either through the uniform division program or the special agent program? Is there anything you'd like to share about, you know, something to get them motivated or get them ready for the training that they're going to be receiving over the next year?
Clearly it takes, you know, the Secret Service has a lot of applicants, and when it comes to hiring and things like that, each class has 24 students. And for me, I think the biggest part is just being prepared. When I went through at 22, even though I knew I wanted to be a police officer because I saw my mom and my father and my uncle go through and have a career in law enforcement, I have to admit, I don't know if I was truly ready for a law enforcement academy per se. And so, you know, all those steps, whether it is physical fitness, whether it is, you know, control tactics and understanding current trends and emerging threats, it does definitely help to be prepared as you come in. Also, to as you go through training, the focus that the recruits have, it continues. It really is, I would say, you know, there's added stress to being a recruit because this is your career on the line. You know, many go to school majoring in criminal justice, knowing that they want a profession in law enforcement. And one bad academic test or one bad PT test, physical fitness test, or one bad day on the range could be a determining factor if you make it through or not. So the 8 months, you know, 7 to 8 months training program is in many ways stressful just because it is your career on the line. And you definitely don't want to disappoint your family who is excited for you, the agency who invested and gave you and offered you the job, but most importantly, yourself, because we all have, you know, personal and professional goals. Many of who are coming on the job, this is their professional goal.
For more information about the Secret Service or how to join, please go to www.secretservice.gov. And until next time, listeners, stay vigilant.